live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Merry Sunday, everybody. I hope it finds you well. It is indeed time for a Sunday sermon. It's very early in the morning here in the U of K, and even earlier here in Liverpool, because I'm knackered. But I've just woke up drank two big massive mugs of coffee. I'm on my third. This is the proof. There you go. Not a big slur, because some people find it offensive. Anyway, in actual spooky, horrible news, as of tomorrow, the UK is going to go under further lockdown restrictions. Hooray! Boo! And especially in the north, where I live, in Liverpool and other regions. And so as of tomorrow, we're probably going to have all pubs and restaurants shut. And lots of things are changing in North Wales as well. This all impacts our Halloween special, of course, where we're planning to spend the night in a haunted hotel room in the north of Wales. Now, current restrictions in North Wales, there are certain places you can't even stop in a car. You have to just drive right through. So it's all a little bit up in the air. And I hope, upon hope, that they don't pull our reservation. Because if they do, that means that the thing we've planned for 2 years, the thing I've just literally went out and bought cameras and night vision things and all this stuff, is completely worthless. I was going to say worthwhile then, completely worthless. And it means also we need to go into panic mode and try and come up with a backup for your wonderful Halloween special. But that's not something that we're going to worry about. If that's the case, then you know what? We'll meet it head on like the Brits we are. Yes, sir. Stern upper lip and all that carry on. Or stiff upper lip even. Yes. But hopefully that won't be the case. We'll have to see and we'll have to keep you updated. Yes, updated. How the devil have all you been anyway? I hope that you've all been well. I do say that each and every week, but I sincerely mean it. It serves two purposes. One, it's a nice little intro. And two, I sincerely mean it. And hopefully if you are all still well, I may be like some Merseyside magician. Yes, be well. And you are all well. I hope that you're all fantastically spooked as well, because we are in the wonderful month of October. Has anyone found if they do Halloween advent calendars? And if not, can someone let me know if they do them? Because I'd love one of them. I'll go and get myself one of them, I will. Yeah, where you just like, you know, each day it's like, oh, look, it's a decapitated head behind the door. Oh, look, it's a spooky hand. Or a dead man hand, if you will. Shall we use it to rob a house? Allegedly, you can. Anyway, enough waffling from me. Shall we find out who our new wonderful Patreons are this week? We haven't recorded this week's Patreon episode just yet. Becca's in the shower. Not that anybody needs to know that. And she'll wonder why I told you. But she will be back up shortly and we're going to record our Patreon episode where we're going to discuss something spooky, something wonderful and, stuff like that. So, and also, if you want to go and find out what just those things are, you need to be a Patreon. So you need to go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. It does help us keep the show running. Now, I appreciate that, I appreciate everyone who is a patron at this time because, you know, there are jobs getting cut left, right and centre. So if you're a patron and you're feeling the pinch, don't feel bad about having to pull it, you know. I sincerely mean that. Yes, it completely sincerely helps us keep the show alive. But at the same time, you know, you're your own person. Your life is much more important than this podcast. And it will always be. And if that ever changes, you need to let me know. And together, we'll have a chat. Well, hopefully I'll put you back on the straight and narrow. Anyway, shall we say hello to our new patrons? We have one wonderful patron this week, which means that we don't have much of a backlog. So that means that if you do donate to Patreon in the next week, chances are, like this person, you're going to have a song solely written about you. How lucky is that? Anyway, if you want that to be the case, go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. I've been selling it short, actually. I said there's over 50 episodes. Turns out there's nearly 100. Yeah, nearly 100 extra episodes. Mainly me and Becca, some just me, but you know. But go and check them out if you will. Anyway, let's say hello and thank you to our newest Patreon. The ukulele's back out. And our newest Patreon goes by, listen to this foreign name. I mean, I'm Kevin Eustace. You know, I'm a librarian, clearly. This person's name is Gianni Lamanuzzi. Come on, which one of us is getting in that Italian football team? It's not Kevin Eustace. It will be Gianni Lamanuzzi. Yes, it will. And his thank you song is going to go like this. A song dainty and regal enough to support such a beautiful name.
We have a new patron to thank, and his name is Gianni Lamanuzzi. What a great name.
My name's Kevin,
and I'll never be as cool as Gianni. Thank you, Gianni, you're keeping the lights on today.
I don't know the chords properly. Sorry, Gianni, that was semi-good, semi-bad. Unlike your wonderful patronage. And I couldn't even end it on a seventh. Let me try. What was that? I'm still learning, for God's sake. Anyway, Gianni Lamanuzzi is now a new patron. He's gone over and he will be getting lots of new media to listen to. The lucky, lucky bugger. You can tell I'm a little bit under the weather, can't you? I think you can. Hopefully this will clear up too. I always get this around this time of year, once there's a change in weather. Yeah. Although I do love the cold. Anyway, should we see what weird things have been happening this week in the world? I think we shall.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, we are back once again for some more of the world's weirdest news. And this week in particular has been a belter. So many of you have got in touch to say, Kev, please do this for Weekend Weird. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Thrice you told me. And yes, I did. So I'm going to read it. This news story comes in from the Inverness Courier.co.uk, but it has gone worldwide, and rightly so, because, and I'll quote the headline, excitement as compelling new evidence emerges that the Loch Ness Monster exists. Oh my God, it's Nessie, and I'm doing an awful Scottish accent. Yes, veteran Nessie hunters are in a frenzy of excitement after startling new evidence of the existence of the Loch Ness Monster was recorded. Yes, recorded, people. Not just like a shoddy little photograph taken with a Polaroid of a golf club sticking its head out of the water. No, no, no. The most compelling sonar images of a 32-foot-long object some 500 feet below the loch's surface have been revealed. 32-foot long. 500 feet down, yes. And experts believe they are the most convincing images yet of the mysterious creature said to lurk in the icy depths of Britain's most famous and mysterious waterway. It's Nessie. I always wonder what my neighbour next door at 8:30 in the morning is wondering why I'm singing in that tone. Anyway, the stunning sonar image was captured by Crewe's Loch Ness director Ronald McKenzie, who has worked on the loch for more than 30 years. It was around 4:30 p.m. last Wednesday, yes, this very week, during the last sailing of the day. The dramatic contact was made aboard his 2-year-old catamaran, the Spirit of Loch Ness. It was a bit of a dreich day, he says. That must be Scottish for something. And we only had 12 passengers on board. I was skippering because the usual skipper had the day off, said Mackenzie, 49, who runs the company with his wife, Debbie, 43. Why do we need to know that? Anyway, we were at our halfway point of the Invermotorsissen. I don't know what that is, where we turn around. The water is 189 metres deep there, 620 feet. The passengers were quite excited because they'd just spotted a sea eagle, but then I saw something on the sonar more eye-catching. It was right bang smack in the middle of the loch at about 170 metres, 558 feet, down. Because the boat was doing about 10.7 knots, it was unable to detect if it was moving or stationary. But it were big, at least 10 metres, 33 feet. The contact lasted about 10 seconds and we passed over. I've been on the loch since I was 16 years old and I've never seen anything like it. We've had contacts in the past, but never like this. We have real state-of-the-art sonar on the new boat. It doesn't lie. It can't lie. It captures what's there. I've always got my eyes glued to the screen, but I've never seen anything like this. One of the guides on board told the passengers we had a strong contact. They'd been watching the sea eagle, unaware of what was going on below. I believe there's something in the loch that nobody knows what it is, and we should leave it alone. I've always thought there was something there, be it a big eel or a sturgeon or a big fish of some sort, or even Nessie. It blew me away. I've been looking at it all night and all morning, and it's something big. Leading sonar expert Craig Wallace described the images as 100% genuine. Mr. Wallace, Marine Robotics Senior Application Specialist with Kongsberg Maritime AS, has surveyed Loch Ness half a dozen times. 4 years ago, he famously detected and discovered the lost model of Nessie, which was used during the filming of The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes in 1970. However, he says there's no doubt about the authenticity of this current sonar image. There is no question... He sounds awfully like the first fella, doesn't he? There is no question this is real, clear and distinct contact. It's 100% real target. It is 100% genuine. I do believe large sturgeon do enter Loch Ness, so it may be a sturgeon or a wee shoal of fish, said Mr. Wallace, 39. Nessie expert Steve Feltham, who set a world record for the longest vigil of looking for the monster, God bless him, said Mr. McKenzie's sonar image was the most compelling evidence in the existence of the legendary creature. He went on to say, it's extremely exciting. These must be triplets. There is no comparison in the clarity for the evidence that we've been looking for. That there are big animals swimming around in the Ness. I've been... Sorry, he doesn't say that. He says, I've known Ronald McKenzie for 30 years. He's a Highland lad who doesn't seek publicity and shies away from the fanciful Nessie theories. He's not somebody who cry wolf or Nessie. But within 7 minutes of getting the sonar, he contacted me and I said, wow. And he goes on to say that again, I can't do that object for so... that voice for so long. Anyway, yes, Nessie appears to be back. And of course he's back. It's 2020. Nessie is going to come back. Vampires are going to be proven as real. And, you know, UFOs are going to take over, probably just like Independence Day. So that brings us to the end of this week's Nessie-filled Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Yes, and I think it goes without saying there is a massive apology to anyone who's from Scotland or has Scottish heritage about my accents there. They were all very similar and all very awful, so I do apologise. Oh my God, I've got a second apology today. Get on this. So you know midweek, I'd done a We Don't Need To episode, and the We Don't Need To Talk About Ghosts episode this week was specifically about like an homage to, or homage to podcasting. So therefore I had a list on a pad about podcasts that got me into podcasting, podcasts that I like, blah, blah, blah. And on that list was Jim Harrell's Campfire. The immortal Jim Harrell, you know, like one of the, if not arguably the most successful paranormal podcaster alive today. And I've been on Jim's show and he's an amazingly great, lovely guy. And he was on the list for me to mention, right? Anyway, because I got wrapped up, you know how I get when I just do a big monologue for 30 minutes? Some things can get missed. Anyway, I didn't mention him, and I should have, because he's been a massive inspiration. Anyway, I record it, I edit it. I don't edit it, sorry, that's a lie, because it was all one big spiel. So I put the start music on and the end music on, and I put it up there. Then I go to Instagram, and I go through the list that I've written down of people that I've just thanked and said, you know, you're amazing, too. Jim Harrell's on that list, so I put Jim Harrell on it. Jim Harrell replies and says, thanks, Kev. And then it dawned on me. I thought, I don't remember speaking about Jim. And I didn't. How embarrassing is that? I've just said how great these people are. Jim said, thanks, Kev, because I've bloody tagged Jim in it. But I didn't mention Jim. So I mention him specifically now. Jim Harrell is a legend. Not that he needs you to go and check him out. You're aware of Jim Harrell. If you're not, where have you been all this podcasting time? He's a hero of mine and he's brilliant. Go and check it out. Jim Harrell's Campfire. You already know about it. You probably found this through that. But yeah, sorry, Jim. Tip me hat to you there. I made a bit of a boob of myself. Anyway, shall we do some ghost stories? Because that's why we're here. Yes, I think we shall. Our first email comes in from the wonderful Chris Miner. And his email is entitled Smoke on the Water. They say, hi, Kevin and Becca. Hi. Just a short story. I hope you guys like it. I'm sure we will, Chris. I'm sure we will. So, a few days ago, me and my beautiful wife, who doesn't believe in any type of paranormal stuff at all, caught up with a friend after the lockdown. My friend lives in Manchester, and this was when the lockdown was about to start. So here we go. Are we ready to jump in? I think we are. Let's go. She started telling us about her neighbours, who were an old, vulnerable couple who had been married for decades, so the wife went to live with her daughters at the start of lockdown. My friend and the neighbourhood would slip notes through the door asking if he, the husband, needed anything, but he would venture out with his sticks every day to the local shop for his essentials. Well, this became a little routine, as well as the husband playing Smoke on the Water on his flute every night between 11 and midnight. My friend used to take the bins out for him and brought them back in, because of his frail condition. Then, one bin day, my friend noticed that the rubbish hadn't been taken out and started to worry. So my friend rings the daughter up and tells her concern. The daughter asked her to give him a knock to see if he's okay. She went over and gave him a knock. No answer. She tried again and still didn't answer. So she looked through the letterbox and saw the TV on. So she shouted through the letterbox and explained her daughter's concern. The house was filled with rubbish and the smell was so bad she had to take a breath. So my friend contacted the daughter and told her what she'd seen. They both decided to call the police to do a welfare check. The police came, broke in, and found a body at the bottom of the stairs. The husband must have fallen down the stairs and had been there for at least 4 days, but because of the amount of rubbish, my friend couldn't see anything apart from the TV. The husband was collected and the house was cleaned up. My friend felt awful about it. It really hit her hard. A few nights later, she's getting ready for bed. In a world of her own, and all of a sudden, she hears a flute. That flute is playing Smoke on the Water. She's heard it a few nights now and has asked any of the neighbours if they've taken up the flute. Nobody has. Thanks, Kevin. A bit of a sad story here, and well done to my friend who's a legend looking out for her neighbours. Thank you for being the voice of our Sundays and now Wednesdays. From Chris Minor. You're very welcome, Chris. God, imagine if Sunday's voice was this. We'd all just move down to 6 days a week, wouldn't we? That is amazing. And yeah, I must admit that I had a little bit of a chuckle in my breath initially when you said, and he was happy just playing Smoke on the Water on his flute. I was like, this granddad rocks. But then it became awfully sad. So yeah, that is terribly sad. But, you know, if his little ghost is now cracking on. I wonder if Smoke on the Water is as easy to play on other instruments as the guitar. I'm sure we've all got that one friend who says, I can play the guitar. Pass the guitar. And next thing, you just hear, oh, the ukulele, let's see. You know, and you're like, you can't play the guitar, mate. You can play Smoke on the Water. So I'm not saying this guy was bad on the flute and could just play Smoke on the Water. I'm sure he just enjoyed it, okay? Back off. Okay, that's amazing though, Chris. Thank you very much. Let's have some more. Oh, Becca's just arrived. Hello, Becca.
Hello.
You just informed me that you're only going to make potentially a bit of today's Patreon episode because you're going into town, aren't you?
Yeah, I need to go out now.
But I need to just ask you a question that will be relevant for our listeners. But so anyway, I'll just ask it.
All right.
Can you play anything at all on the guitar?
Yes.
What can you play?
I can play the intro to Seven Nation Army.
Seven Nation Army?
Yeah. And also the riff, the tiny little like 4 or 5 notes, whatever it is, of Smoke on the Water.
Of what?
Smoke on the Water.
Do you want to say that a bit closer to the microphone?
Smoke on the Water.
There you go.
What?
You won't know the relevance of that.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you.
This isn't nice.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you.
Is it because everyone can play Smoke on the Water?
Yes.
Is that the joke?
Yes, yeah. That's the joke.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought that'd be a humorous question.
Okay. But also Seven Nation Army.
But also, I didn't expect Seven Nation Army, to be fair. Yeah. But yeah, well done. That's it.
Why? I would have presumed that you would have thought my answer would just be a straight no. I can't play anything.
I did presume that you could at least, at some point in, this is the thing, at some point in everybody's life, someone has turned around and went, I'm going to let Smoke on the Water on one string, and they've done it.
What's one string?
It friggin' would have been one string. Pardon my French, but there's no way you went, oh yeah, I just learned some power chords.
No, but it wasn't one string. It wasn't one string.
It defo was.
It was a while ago.
Might have been a while ago, yeah. You want to check that memory? It definitely was.
Seven Nation Army wasn't one string.
Wasn't it?
No. When you say one string, let's just get the... Just clarify, we're both on the same page here. Do you mean on the same string of
yes,
the guitar?
Yes, on the same string of the guitar.
Yeah, no, Seven Nation Army wasn't one string.
Wasn't it?
No, I remember going up and down.
Well, what more proof do we need than that? I remember going up and down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll let you get off to your little jaunt into town and we may
little
see you.
Little jaunt me.
Well, what's wrong about
oh
that?
God, why don't you pat me on the head and send me off 50p for the shop?
You're not getting 50p, aren't you? Okay, well, you go on. All right, then you go on your spectacular adventure into town.
No, you just go into town, just a normal.
All right, then. You go on your normal adventure into town.
Okay.
And we may see you on the Patreon.
Yes, maybe.
Okay. That was a good sound effect, that. If anything, you've proved that we have laminate. Oh, you've got... I was just about to say, Becca bought some Skechers boots for winter yesterday. Yeah, Skechers. We're all about Skechers in this flat, aren't we?
Yeah, it's such a shame they don't sponsor us.
They really should. I know, yeah. Yeah, we really do.
And they're not interested.
Yeah. Okay.
Not well, that we've approached them. Maybe they would be. I can't see them sponsoring a ghost podcast, but...
Yeah. Well, your spooky Skechers. Yeah. Brought to you by Skechers Footwear. Yeah. Anyway.
And we would be the best ambassadors because we truly love them.
We truly love them. They're literally looking around the living room now. There are 8 pairs of Skechers.
Yeah, I know. You need to sort your shoes out.
I know, yeah. I need to. I literally just like the Wicked Witch of the West who's melted, I just kick them off and say, they're staying there.
Even the neighbour's cat tripped over them yesterday.
The neighbour's cat put a toy in one of mine over there.
That's because there's nowhere else for toys to go because they're just. The floor is just strewn with Skechers. You can't move for them.
Yeah, so if anyone knows anyone who works for Skechers, tell them to. Or the marketing department. Yeah. Anyway, I've got ghost stories to tell.
I'm sorry, you dragged me back to talk about my new boots.
I didn't drag you back to talk about what I knew you would say as an answer for what playing the guitar.
Well, still surprised you.
Anyway. Okay, thank you, my love.
You're welcome.
Teddy bye. So, we here on the podcast are going to carry on telling ghost stories. You may hear the pitter-patter of little boots, and that will be Becca sorting herself out to go on a very adult and normal adventure, by all accounts, into town. But our next story comes in from our good friend from Dananda, Tony Evans. Yes, our Tone, as I like to refer to him now. Our Tone's been in touch and he says, hi, Kevin Beck. Hi.
Do you want to
see a real hi from Becca there? And this is a story. As I said before, I lived in a strange little house in Hendon, North London. I myself never liked living there and I lived there till I was 21 on and off. Dad is like me, a sensitive, and it was not till many years after we moved out that he told me this story. He always said the house had very bad luck. He could never get credit, and Mum was a happy, healthy woman until we moved there in 1975. And after that, she was never well. He told me of a moment that validated his theory. For a long time, things would go missing, and from the most obvious places. I vividly remember playing with my brother's air gun, in brackets, those unsafe 70s, hey? And I took out the firing pin and put it down on the table. I turned to get a pellet, and I turned back and it was missing. In panic, I pulled the room apart and never found it. In brackets, man, did I get a smack for that. Now, I'd forgot about all this for years, until the day after Mum and Dad moved to their new home, as Mum could no longer climb the stairs to bed. We were having a beer, and I said in passing, good riddance to the house. Dad replied that he never liked it there, and that he'd fallen asleep in the lounge room, with all their belongings packed up ready to go, when he was awoken with a loud bang, and there, in the middle of the room, appeared a pile of odds and ends. Mum's missing engagement ring, money, and a part of an air gun. He said he promptly shouted, thank you, and fell back to sleep. He sorted out what was to be kept, what was to be thrown away, and what he thought was junk that morning. The house had a spirit, a feel, and a meanness to it. It was a corner house built in the 30s. I found out that 2 old ladies, sisters, had died in the house during the Blitz. At the bottom of the stairs was a larder, in brackets, a cold storage room for all people outside the UK. It had a blue door, and I always had nightmares of something coming out of it and slinking up the stairs to my room. There were cold spots in the lounge, even when Mum and Dad had the heater on full and the door closed. I never truly felt alone in this house. Dad is not a man for histrionics, a storyteller, yes, but on this occasion, I believe him. You know, I often Google map the house to see how it is now. The thought of going inside makes me very uneasy. I'm sure there are more stories that my brothers have that I might ask if we ever speak again to tell you. As I said, the house has very, very bad luck. It's been 40 years since all brothers have been in the same room as each other, and I blame that house. Sorry if that took a dark turn, but all of you will understand that there are places in this world that people are just not welcome. Tone. Bloody hell, Tony, that was amazing. I mean, not the part about you're not speaking to your brothers. That's terribly sad, and I hope you resolve that. But the best part of that for me is that what's known in the business as an aport. Yes, A-P-O-R-T. It might even be double A, I don't know, or double P. An aport, yes, where something just appears out of nowhere, out of thin air, and drops onto the floor. And it's amazing that it was all the stuff that's been lost previously. That is such a good story, and I completely believe it. Well done, Tone. If you do manage to resolve it with your brothers and get stories off then, Tone, send them in, because that's amazing. Dead funny you're talking about air pistols, though, in the 70s and stuff, because, you know, it must have hung over into the 80s, air pistols in the UK, and especially in Liverpool. And my friend got hold of one, a Gatling gun. Well, a Gat gun, not a Gatling, that's a machine gun. A Gat, it was called. It was like you push the barrel in, put a pellet in the back, pa-dung, and you could shoot things with it. One day, me and him were pinging windows with it, yeah, which basically means like firing the pellet off a window. And the neighbour would come out and go, and then we'd duck down from his bedroom window because we were little bastards. We're about 10 or 11 or something. And he waved it in my face, this gun loaded. And I went, what are you doing? And he went, it's all right, the safety's on watch. Bang. And the barrel shot out and hit me in the cheek, just below the eye. Could have blinded me. Now, what you'd think the friend would do would be go, oh my God, you're okay. Quick, let's get you some medical assistance. What he actually done was run out of his house. He ran away because he thought he blinded me. Best to live on the streets than to see if Kev's blind. I mean, he did come back after about 5 minutes when he realised he only had a pair of shorts on and a T-shirt and he wasn't going to go very far. Luckily, though, it hit me just under the eye and I now forever have a little circle, very faintly, just under my eye. So thank you for that, Stephen. I'll never forgive you. I joke, I forgived him almost instantly because we were 10, hooray! But then, here's where that story goes worse. I then had to explain to my mum why I had a circular, perfect circular hole in my cheek. So Kevin, being clever at 10, said, I might have told you the story before, but being clever at 10, said, oh, I ran into a nail that was sticking out. Yes, I ran perfectly head onto a nail head sticking out. And she went, really? Oh my God, we'll have to take you to the doctors to get a tetanus needle then. I was like, what? An hour later, I was getting injected in my arm with a big bastard needle, and I thought, well, this day has gone from bad to worse. So there you go. Don't mess around with guns, kids. Not necessarily for that reason. They're a lot more dangerous these days, actually, so definitely don't mess around with them. You won't just get a tetanus, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, let's have a midpoint. Huzzah! And it is time for the midpoint. The neighbour's cat is here, and she's... seems very focused on the ukulele. She could be German too. She does have a little Hitler moustache, but I don't think her ethics are the same as his. Let's just say that. How are you all? I hope you're all fantastic and doing amazingly well. So yes, the Halloween special's in a bit of jeopardy at the moment, which is worrying. So we've got our brain cogs wearing away in the hope that we can pull something out of this and salvage it. And I'm sure we will. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be fine. So in other news, this week will see me start work on my third podcast. Yes, Paranormapedia. Yes, which is going to be a look at that week's mysterious news. You know, so they can't be done in advance is the only thing. And Becca's already pre-warned me that I might not have the time to do all of these podcasts that I'm currently doing. Because if you think about it, I'm doing every other week there's a We Don't. Every other week, there's a Dark Paranormal. Every Sunday, there's a We Need to Talk About Ghosts. And then there's Patreon episodes attached to those. And now I'm looking to bring in another podcast into the mix. But I'm all right with it because I'm currently furloughed. What can I do? So, but the challenge is going to be when I go back to work full time, then I'll be like, ah, bugger, this is a bit of a hard thing to do. But I'm sure it'll be fine because Dark Paranormal's running in seasons anyway. So there'll be a couple of weeks between each season of that. So that'll give me time to have a bit of a break. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah. So as you just heard, Becca won't be with us on this Patreon, or she may pop in towards the end. So I think what I'm going to do instead, this Patreon episode, I'm going to do a few EVP experiments in the flat. Yes. Only for a short while, because, you know, as we've discovered before on an audio format, if it's just me going, is there anyone there? 6 seconds of silence. Is there anyone there? 6 seconds of silence. It can get very dull. So we'll only do it for a short amount of time. But yeah, that's all the news that we've got for this week. I just do want to say a big, massive congratulations to my celebrity friend, Mr. Christopher Jericho, who's just celebrated 30 years in the wrestling industry. 30 years. He's had over 2,000 matches. And, you know, as much as you could say it's choreographed, etc., you're still landing on your spine on concrete on occasions and getting hit over the head. So with steel chairs, etc. Yeah, and he occasionally listens, I believe. So Big congratulations to the man who literally must have three of himself because he's that busy and he manages to do it all. So here's me complaining about, oh, I might have to do a third podcast. Where am I going to find the time? Yeah, and he can do it all. So big shout out to Mr. Y2J there. I think that's it news-wise. That's everything I wanted to say. Just double-check my list. Apologise to Jim Harold. Yes, done that. Learn smoke on the water. Yes, done that. Okay then, guys. Let's get back to some spook. Oh, don't forget, actually, as well, thinking about it now, preempting, because of the potential of us not doing a Halloween episode in the haunted hotel. It breaks me heart to say that. Oh, it genuinely does. But it's only potential at the moment. That said, send in your spooky stories now. If you're sitting on it or you think, I've sent them in. Yes, I know I've still got some ones that have been sent in throughout September to get through, but that's fine. We need more. If we're going to do a lot for Halloween, we need more. Send them in. Contact at talkaboutghosts.com. I'll say that again slower because I appreciate it. Sometimes after coffee, I can speak a bit fast. So I'll say it a bit slower. That email address is contact at talkaboutghosts.com. Ah, thank you. Okay then, guys, let's get back to the show and some spook. And we are back. And you know what? We're going to jump right in, both feet, yes, like a crazy cat. And here we go. This next email comes in from Christina, and it's called Cold Christmas Church. Three C's, I like it. Hey.
Hey.
Thought I would send in my story. Why, thank you. Huge fan of the podcast, by the way. Why, double thank you. And here's your story. This happened about 5 years ago, when I had an interest in taking photographs of abandoned buildings. There were many weird and beautiful places I found, but there was one in particular place I would never forget. I was with my previous partner at the time, and I asked if we could visit this abandoned church that I'd found online. It did look kind of freaky when we saw an image of the place, but I thought nothing of it, as the church was situated in a nice, peaceful field where there were sheep around. We went ahead and parked the car and went for a walk around the fields until we finally found the abandoned church. It felt very eerie and quiet, almost too quiet. Around the church were many graves that we tried to look to see the dates on the tombstones, but could not see as most of them had faded away. We walked around the church and noticed a few graffitis saying Jesus and other weird creepy stuff. Finally, we found a hole which we used to enter the church. Carefully, we both went in and both stood in the middle of this abandoned church tower. It was a very warm spring day, but the temperature in there was absolutely freezing, that it hit you as soon as you walked in. I cannot describe how cold that feeling was. Something was not right. It was a high-ceiling church tower with a fairly large window that had green growing through it, and a very narrow staircase. We didn't want to stay long, so we both got out and just looked at the church from outside. We then decided to walk back, and it wasn't until we made a few steps we heard a large scream coming from the church which sounded like a woman. We both looked at each other and started to walk off quickly. Never in my life would I believe this kind of stuff, but that experience has led me to believe that haunted places and ghosts do exist. After the experience, I wanted to research more about the church and found that it dates back to 1086. There are rumours that the church was built in the north-south alignment instead of east to west, which meant it was a sign of the devil, which is why the rest of the church was demolished. What freaked me out the most was there had been many sightings of a woman around the graveyard and that people had heard sounds of her growling and an evil presence. No way am I going back. Many people have heard of this place, which is called Cold Christmas Church, which is located in Ware, Hertfordshire. If you decide to share this story, I'm happy to have my name, Christina. Kind regards, Christina. I should have really read that at the start, shouldn't I? I always should go to the end of an email so that I can check if I can use the name or not, because I'm forever going, and this is from Christina, who lives in number 7 Acacia Avenue. She doesn't. That's Banana Man's address. It might be 10 Acacia Avenue. It's irrelevant. Christina, that story is amazing. I love stories where people are converted to belief through what happened. But that was so descriptive that I was there with you. I was there with you. Unidentified screams it's a weird one, isn't it? This dichotomy. And what I mean by dichotomy is if you hear a scream of a woman, you often see on like, you know, I'm a bit dubious when I see ghost videos, for example. I'm not saying your story's dubious, but when you see ghost videos of people going on a ghost hunt, for example, and they're in a churchyard and a woman screams, and instead of maybe saying, should we go and check out that a woman's not being attacked? They go, that'll be Margaret. That'll be Margaret from 1732. It will. And there could be some poor woman being attacked. But by the way you've described your story, it doesn't sound like there was anyone else there, let alone a woman and another person attacking that woman. So I am completely convinced that that scream was paranormal. I should have a gavel, shouldn't I? Yes, convinced. Dunk, dunk, dunk. But wow, Christine, if you've got any more stories like that, then please do send them in, for I am forever in need of paranormal paragraphs. Good word, Kevin, I don't think. Anyway, let's have our final story of the show. And that honour, if you will, is bestowed upon a gentleman called Peter, and he is from the US of A. And the title of his email is My Neighbourhood Ghost Story, and That Time I Tried to Punch a Ghost. Jeepers. Hi. My name is Peter, and I'm writing in from Oregon, USA. Although I was raised in a somewhat aggressive atheist household, both my parents come from repressive religious backgrounds. But I would say I'm broadly spiritual and in tune with whatever might be out there. I often know before something bad is about to happen via a bad feeling. Think a spidey sense, but with no guaranteed amount of time, taking anywhere from a few seconds to minutes, or just foreboding on certain decisions. And then, thank you for that little intro there, Peter, by the way. The good little, you know, we know what's going on. We know the sort of guy you are. We know your upbringing. Let's get into your story. My first real paranormal experience was when I was about 11. At the time most of these experiences happen, my sleep schedule was better than it is now, but I was extremely depressed due to emotional abuse and bullying, etc. So I would check one box of sanity for what I saw, but not the other. I woke up in the middle of the night. I looked towards my dresser since I normally sleep on my side with my back facing the wall. There was a little boy standing there. I'd only describe him as looking like a young Draco Malfoy, complete with a sweater vest, dress shirt, and trousers. He was taking something off my dresser and putting something on there, like he was sorting something. I, in my delirious state, promptly turned over and went back to sleep. When I woke up, I called my friend at the time. Let's call her Rose. Rose was a Wiccan, I think, and very in tune with spiritual stuff. She told me that it was probably some sort of goblin-like creature. To be honest, I don't remember much. I told her it didn't seem evil, but she dismissed my panic on having seen it and left me stressed out. The second one was when I was about 12 or 13. I awoke to morning light and I saw someone who looked like my mum, but the way I remembered her as a kid. She looked different, too perfect. I had a bad feeling. She was smiling and holding a plate of chocolate cookies, even wearing a comically nice apron. That wasn't my mum. My mum would never allow food in my room, let alone bring it to me. So I did the only thing I could think of and punched her. I closed my eyes. I've no idea why. My hand made contact with something and I opened my eyes. I had hit a water bottle on my nightstand. There was no one there. The only thing that changed was the light in my room was brighter somehow. That time, I had no one to call, so I just kept it to myself. Somehow, that was the most scary thing that's happened to me. Probably because my mum scares me even when she's her real self. The third was when I was 14, and this is the one I had confirmation from another person about. This was the day after I got home from a trip to California, having visited the Queen Mary the last day I was there. For those of you who don't know, the Queen Mary is a notoriously haunted ship, used in world wars, amongst other things. It's gone through many revamps and renovations, but as it stands now, it's a luxury tourist attraction with Starbucks inside that also holds weddings. Well, there, it wasn't very scary. Though my camera recognised faces in the walls, the one thing that really stuck out to me was this. I found a small doll in a display case. I looked at him, said he was my son, and christened him Jerry. The day I got home was when I experienced something truly scary. I awoke to something standing at the foot of my bed. He was about 6 or 7 feet tall and stood with his knees and arms bent, like a wild animal. He stood there silently. Unlike the Hat Man or other beings, he had wide shoulders, small limbs and waist. He was like a living shadow. His face was indistinguishable from the rest of him. The only thing visible was his prominent chin and lack of neck. He was hunchbacked. He had pitch black skin stretched over bone, no fat or muscle, just tendons, ligaments and bone. The skin looked thin and dead, and its shadows were darker than any other shadows in the room. He was already a shadow, but the pitch dark between his bones stood out even more. So, me, in my infinite wisdom, I said, "Fuck off, Jerry, I disown you." Turned around, shut my eyes tight, and went back to sleep. About a year later, I was talking with my neighbour, and she said she'd seen something similar. She had a tablet that she'd left in her house, and believe it or not, some drunk girls broke into her house and filmed themselves wearing her clothes and mocking her. In scanning the footage for any identifying details, she saw a shadow like the one I'd seen walking through the background. I'm not sure if I believe her because she isn't the brightest knife in the light bulb. But it's nice hearing someone else have the same experience. Though the one she saw was a few feet shorter than mine, it was still nice. Anyways, love the pod. Keep doing what you do best, making bad jokes and telling good ghost stories. Don't worry, my sense of humour is the same level of bad, so I think you're hilarious. Hey! Your friendly neighbourhood digital artist and listed, Peter. P.S. Thanks for bringing up the Godwink thing. I think I needed validation for all the things that have happened in my life, some of which are just weird Spider-Man related parallels that seem to just exist to make me smile. Or almost die, in brackets Black Widow bite, bloody hell. But also the dead crows I found on the streets. The book I found in a vintage store about the end of the world, and dreams about the apocalypse I had before this whole C-word thing. Wow. Peter, what a series of events that have took place there. I mean, thank you for the compliments at the end about my bad humour. How very dare you? No, sincerely, thank you for getting in touch with that. And the Godwink thing, yeah, I love that Godwink idea. Just to refresh all listeners' story, a Godwink is the idea that nothing in the world is a coincidence and that you should pay attention to these little God winks because they allegedly point you and give you little clues as to what you should be doing. It's a very interesting topic. But Peter, what a story. What the hell is that creature that was at the end of your bed? Is anyone else picturing like a bat? You ever seen that giant bat that is a real thing? It's got a head like a horse. That's what I'm picturing, but like a 6 foot version of that. Terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And I don't know whether to congratulate you about trying to punch the ghost of your mother. Don't know. We best just avoid that one. But well done for sending the story in, Peter. That's terrifying. And if anything else has happened, oh, you know what I must say though? What part did make me laugh at that story was the way you're talking about your friend who's also seen this effing demonic shadow being walking in the background. Ah, I'm a demon. And you say, though, It was nice to know that she'd seen something similar. It's like, ah, yes, I'm glad you've seen it too. May we both share this demonic entity in our homes. Wow. But sincerely, have I just invented a word? Seriously and sincerely. Sincerely. So sincerely, Peter, thank you for getting in touch with the story. Now, guys, don't forget, if you want to send your stories in, and as I said on the midpoint, we do need a lot because we've got a potentially backfill a haunted hotel episode. I hope not. But if we do, we're going to need a plethora of paranormal paragraphs. So send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I will read them out, for that's what we do. For those of you who are on Patreon, as you will have heard throughout this episode, I'm going to be attempting some EVPs over there shortly. And for those of you who are not on Patreon, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, it's your life. Your life will be forever more important than a podcast. And yes, so keep an eye out because I'm going to be doing some announcements about Paranormapedia this week, the third podcast. Yes. And if you're wondering is what sort of format it's going to take, it's going to be more lighthearted than this. So the idea will be I'm going to read a news story from that week to do with the paranormal. I'm then going to lambast it or talk about it or try and crack some jokes about it, probably failing to do so. And then because the Pedia part comes in, we will also look at a letter of the alphabet on Wikipedia to do with the paranormal each episode as well. So you're going to have, the idea is it should be the only place you need to go to both have a laugh and also find out anything paranormal that took place that week. Yeah? Because you know what it's like, you're down the pub with your mates and you think you're getting on really well with a new group of people and then they say, did anyone see that poltergeist in Pembrance the other week? And they'll go, oh God, yeah. And you think, I've no idea. Well, this will get you out of that fix. Paranormapedia coming in your ears soon. Anyway. Okay, so Wednesday this week coming up, we have a Dark Paranormal episode over on the Dark Paranormal channel. Don't forget, it's not on this podcast feed, so you need to go and search for The Dark Paranormal. Yes, it's a lot more straighter than this, and it's a lot more serious, I guess. And in the meantime, and in between time, we will see you next weekend for more paranormal shenanigans. Turned into Matt Hardy there. Okay then, guys, I love you all. Take care of yourselves and each other. Copyright Jerry Springer from the 90s, and we will see you then. Tatty bye.